Today is the 14th day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is awesome to be here with you today around the global campfire, coming in, gathering together, moving forward, staying on the same page together as we move through the scriptures. Grateful to be here with you today. Grateful for the territory that we're in. Some really big lessons in 1 Samuel as we get to know King Saul, Israel's first king, and get to know a little bit about character and motivation and what drives us. God is rejecting Saul, and we will continue to watch things kind of spiral in his life as we continue to move forward, examining our own. 1 Samuel chapters 15 and 16 today. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not have compassion on them, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Then Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid an ambush in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Then Saul struck the Amalekites from Havilah until you come to Shur, which is near Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, fatlings, and lambs. And of all that was good, they were not willing to utterly destroy them. But everything that was despised and weak, that they completely destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, "I regret that I have set up Saul to be king, because he has turned back from following me, and he has not carried out my words." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel and set himself up a monument. Then he turned and has passed on down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the word of the Lord." Samuel said, "Then what is the sound of this flock of sheep in my ears, and the sound of the cattle which I am hearing?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop, and I will tell you what the Lord spoke to me this night." And he said to him, "Speak." Samuel said, "When you were little, in your own sight, you were not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are destroyed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you rush upon the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have followed in the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took from the plunder sheep and oxen, the first fruits of the banned things to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Samuel said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice, a listening ear than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." As Samuel turned about to go, he seized the edge of his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." And he said, "I have sinned, yet please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn back with me that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came to him reluctantly. But Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Now Samuel did not see Saul up to the day of his death, but Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from ruling over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself from among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you will do, and you will anoint for me him whom I tell to you.'" Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "I have come in peace to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the anointed of the Lord is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." So Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your young men?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, shepherding the flock." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a good appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrified him. So the servants of Saul said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let our Lord now tell your servants who are before you, that they might seek out a man experienced in playing the lyre. And it will come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is on you, that he will play with his hand, and you will be well." Saul said to his servants, "Find me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Then one from the servants answered and said, "I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is experienced in playing music, a mighty man of valor, a man of battle, and skillful in words, even a man of fine appearance, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David your son, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey laden with bread, a bottle of wine, and a young goat, and he sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." It happened that when the evil spirit from God came on Saul, David would take the lyre in his hand and play. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. John 8, 1 through 20. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he returned to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. When they had put her in the middle, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us to stone such. What do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Being convicted by their conscience, those who heard it went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had stood up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered them, "Though I bear witness of myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Even in your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus spoke these words in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. No one arrested him, for his hour had not yet come. Psalm 110. A Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send your mighty scepter out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will follow you in the day of your battle. On the holy mountains at dawn of the morning, the dew of your youth belongs to you. The Lord has sworn and will not change. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall strike down the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill them with dead bodies. He shall scatter heads all over the land. He shall drink of the brook in the path. Then he shall lift up the head." Proverbs 15:8-10. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loves him who follows after righteousness. Correction is grievous to him who forsakes the way, and he who hates reproof will die. Okay, so in the Gospel of John today, very, very beautiful, deep, multi-layered, complex story unfolding in the life of Jesus, who is teaching in the temple complex in Jerusalem, and the religious leaders, they have like a really awkward test, a humiliating test for the person being tested. So they had caught a woman in the act of adultery. I guess the dude just got away somehow, I guess, but they nabbed her. And what that means is that they found her naked in bed, entangled with somebody other than her husband, and he other than his spouse, and they dragged her off into the temple complex. There are people around. Jesus is teaching. She is probably naked. Like, this is a humiliating thing that could require the death sentence. And so they bring her to Jesus in the midst of this crowd, and she's just, I don't know. You can only, I mean, there's no way to know the circumstances, but she's humiliated and probably wondering how it is that her life ended up where it has. And they are trying to, you know, discuss Mosaic law and its interpretation and implementation with Jesus. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Jesus didn't say anything. He stoops down, begins to write in the dust. And at first, everybody's probably thinking he's thinking about it. And that, you know, just brings the tension in. You know, he's down below everybody else, and this woman's standing there, and everybody's waiting for what's going to happen, and he's just riding in the dust. Like smiley faces or something. I have no idea. There's been all kinds of things said about that. But then the religious leaders are pressing him for an answer, and so he stands up and he's like, okay. Okay, like that is the law. So, all right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stoops back down and writes in the dust some more. And everybody kind of just begins to peel away. It's kind of a big deal. Throw the first stone is also part of like the Mosaic law. If there are witnesses against someone that is worthy, you know, punishable by death in the culture, that's not just some sort of displaced, separate thing from the accuser and the accused, where it will be, you know, justice will be served somewhere distant by some distant person. It's the accuser has to be, like, to make the accusation that would bring about death, the death penalty, the accuser is required and has to be willing to, like, initiate the execution. So if it's stoning, to cast the first stone. And so Jesus is, like, right at the heart of the law, saying, okay, like, if that is where you are on this, if that is the kind of accusation you are making, and you feel righteous enough to make this a public thing as a test, then cast the first stone. And that's when the truth is revealed, that this is a test, and everybody leaves but Jesus and the woman. And, you know, she's got to go live with herself now. And she gets some explicit instructions from Jesus on how to do that. Because now, you know, she's got shame and she's been publicly humiliated. There is nobody not going to be talking about this. Right? She's that woman now. And so there's consequences in her life, sure, but she gets explicit instructions about how to move forward. Where are your accusers? Didn't anybody condemn you? No, Lord, she said. Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So that is a story that has given hope for thousands of years, only found in the Gospel of John. And we all find ourselves that figure, the figure of the woman in this story in one way or another. We've deserved judgment. And we rarely actually end up getting away with anything in the end. So, in the moment, we can embrace the story for ourselves, like claiming the grace given to the woman, Well, playing the role of the religious accusers toward others, or for that matter, maybe the man's wife who finds out about this, and she's got to find a way toward forgiveness. Like, all the layers here we can find ourselves in, and all too often we're willing literally to drag everyone, our brothers and sisters who have fallen in one way or another, toward their judgment while excusing our own shortcomings. That is not the way Jesus did things, though. That is not. He entered this woman's humiliation and was present in it and gave her a path out of it. So, to be Christ-like means that we got to be honest about ourselves, too. The things that we could point out are things that, you know, in therapy, like, we learn this phrase, if you can spot it, you probably got it. And so that's like a little lesson in kind of becoming self-aware. That's important. Can't just be merciful to ourselves and completely judge others. That is completely against the teachings of Jesus. Jesus did not condemn. He acknowledged. He called her forward into a better life. Go and sin no more. Those are the words. They don't apply just to us. They apply to everybody. Because the only one in this story who could have bent down into the dust and instead of writing in the dust, picked up a stone, the only one without sin, didn't. And so we have to find a way to at least move in that direction, to be Christ-like. If we want to be like Jesus, then that's where we have to be walking towards. And Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. There's just many, many layers in the story. And if we sit with the story and apply it to our lives by kind of putting ourselves in the different positions, there's so much. And we invite you into that. Reveal more and more of ourselves to ourselves. May we become more and more aware. Eyes to see and ears to hear. We might be more intentional with how we live this gift of life. Lead us into all truth, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. This is home base. This is where you get connected. This is the brand new 2.0 that has, well, we are in our third week now. So that is getting stable and workable and everybody's getting moved in. And it's so fun to see everybody, like the community section going in there and leaving a testimonial has been so fun. Some of the most fulfilling swiping that I have done in a long time. So check all that out. I've been saying for the last couple of days, the Daily Audio Bible Shop is all new as well. Lots of new things that have never been around before are in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. Coffee is something that's been around a very, very long time. Like most of the time, 17 years. We've been doing wind farm coffee and tea. And so that's not new. The packaging's all new. We updated the Daily Audio Bible wind farm branding for coffee and tea. And we have, for a very long time, had a subscription where you can order a certain amount of bags of coffee that you want sent to you each month, roast it fresh, and send it off to you so that it arrives really fresh and delicious. So we've been doing that for a long time as well, but it's all new now. Everything is new there. And so I said for the first 250 people, this is the third day. That's considerably fewer now. But for the first, we had 250. So for the first 250 people that came to the Wind Farm coffee and tea subscription and got a 1-year subscription, paid for 1 year and selected what you wanted sent each month, we will send you a 20th year edition clean canteen from Daily Audio Bible. We haven't had any clean canteens this year. I'm not sure. Like, we got a lot going on this year, so I'm not sure that... I don't know. We don't have that is not on the roadmap just yet. These are the clean canteens that we have. And they are marigold in color with black lid, super sharp, super cool. We had some of these with this color last year for the 20th anniversary. These are like those. They're just a little bit different. The 20 is a little bit different. So these are exclusive, and when they're gone, they are all gone for all time. So, make sure you go check it out and be one of the 250. And we will love every month seeing your name as it comes up, as we package and ship your coffee and your tea. And hopefully while you're drinking it, you'll think back to us, or drinking it too. We're connected as we continue our journey through the scriptures. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is a place that's safe, a place that repair can happen, a safe oasis from the chaos of it all, a place of direction, a place of clarity, because we open our hearts to the scriptures and they have a way of speaking for themselves. If that has been life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Vonnie from Northern California. Today is May 8th. And I just heard Lonnie call in. So grateful that he gave us an update. So many of us have been praying for him. And I am so blessed by hearing the way this community prays for one another. I can't even tell you. But I have a request of my own. I am going in on May 19 for a hip replacement. And I have a condition that makes me extremely susceptible to bacterial infection. And this morning I have a terrible, terrible sore throat. I don't know what's going on, but I just ask the community to pray for me that I will not be ill before my surgery, and that I will come through the surgery without an infection. I just pray against that in Jesus' name. So thank you so much. I love this community so much. Thank you, Brian, for the new app. It's wonderful. And for all the work that you all do behind the scenes, I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much again for praying for me. I appreciate it greatly. I know the power of prayer. It's amazing. God is amazing. We have a good, good Father who loves to hear us pray. So thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hi, this message is for Megan. Megan from Canada. You called in about your mother being hit while she was on her e-bike. I'm so sorry, Megan, that this has happened. And I want to lift you up and lift your mother up before the Lord. Would you all join me? Abba, Father, thank you for Megan and for her calling on the saints. Lord, you say that you are near the brokenhearted and you are near those who call on you. And Megan has done that, God. We ask for complete healing and restoration of Megan's mother, that you would take all of whatever is going on in her body and remove it completely, God, that you would bring her to full healing. We know that you know what has happened and what is happening, and we trust you, God. We trust that your will would be done. So would you please fix the situation, help everything that's going on, help the doctors have perfect wisdom as they tend to Megan's mother. And I pray that you give Megan's mother peace, complete peace in her spirit, and that you be with her family as they wait on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Dab family. This is one traveling chick from Texas. It's been a minute, but I just wanted to hop on here and pray for Accepted in the Beloved. She left a prayer request concerning her son. So I just wanted to pray. I want to share this scripture, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I am praying for your son. Father God, we ask, Lord God, that you open up a door for her son concerning new employment. We pray for rest right now on his current job. We pray that his boss approves some time off so he can take time to seek your face and to spend time with his family. We pray that you move on the heart of the new recruiter, Lord God, that he is blessed with favor, Lord God, concerning the new offer that is awaiting him. So, Father, we just give you praise. We thank you. You're a God of provision. You are our source, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh. And we give you praise and thanks in advance for the great work that you're going to do in her son's life, beyond just a job, Lord God, but that his life will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Dab family. Have a great day.
Kay from Ohio. This is God's Life Speaker. I am praying for you, your siblings, your father, the nieces and nephews, grandchildren. It is a hard thing to lose a mama. Just a few nights ago, my daughter, who's 17, and I were snuggling up at bedtime, and the floodgates opened for her. We lost my mom 5.5 years ago, and she was just 12. And it's 5.5 years later, and we cried so many tears. So I know that people say it gets easier. I don't know about that. When we first lost my mom, I feel like the time in my mind was split between thinking about her and thinking about Jesus. My mind was so on her and the big hole that was left. So may the Lord bless you. May he bring you comfort and memories that you just have to laugh, or you just have to smile, because God is good all the time. And we are here to love the things we're going to lose. And let's just love well while we have those people here. I know you'll be the light among your family. May he strengthen you as you walk forward, even in tears. I pray a blessing over you, Kay. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Beth from Arizona. I'm calling for prayer for my dearly beloved sister, Rhoda, who will be 80 in September. She was diagnosed in March with esophageal cancer in her lower third of her esophagus, and she has just completed her fourth week of chemo and radiation, and she's a walking miracle, but some of the effects are of the chemo especially are affecting her, and also she has difficulty sleeping at night because of the pills that she has to take. So she's loves the Lord and is always cheerful and amazing, but I would just love to have prayer. She has another 4 weeks till the end of May, and we expect that cancer to be gone. Thank you again for, I love the new app too, and for Brian and Jill. It's just such a great community, and it's so wonderful to be able to pray. Thank you again for your encouragement.
This message is for the lady from Las Vegas. Your prayer request was on the end of the May 8th reading on DAB. And I want to pray over you. Father God, you know what she needs. You know the desires of her heart. Father God, your word says, you have come before us, you are with us, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. Do not be discouraged. Do not be anxious. Lord, I pray this verse over her. I pray, Lord, that you would give her peace to know that you are always with her, even and especially in the hard times. Lord, I ask that you just wrap a hedge of protection around her. Send people of her faith community to physically and verbally encourage her, pray for her. Lord, I ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. I encourage you to begin your day in the word, even if it's a simple devotion. I have begun doing that, and that has helped tremendously, especially in the valleys that I've been in lately. And listening to worship music, singing that praise back to him, and give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. And I've had to teach myself I can't live by my feelings. I have to live by God's truth. And so I pray these things over you, sweet sister. Give us an update soon. This is Forgiven Child of God. Love y'all.